Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to Reading Heathens, the unholy and wholly uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel A.T. How you doing, Daniel?
Doing good. Doing good. We chatted before the podcast when we were just on that in these times, if you say you're doing okay, that gets a plus to or a bump up to doing great. So that's I think that, you know, grading on a scale kind of thing. So good is pretty much a great plus right now. I bought a bicycle and I'm part of the hip fixie gang. You ever hear of fixie gear bicycles?
Does it have streamers on the handles?
It's gonna. I don't have it yet. It's coming. You know, we can't just go to a bike store in these worlds. So it's coming later. But no, fixed gears where it doesn't have any gears. It's just one gear, and it's supposed to be harder and make you work harder and stuff. But
Daniel,
I
can't hear like every other word that comes out of your mouth right now. Having some technical difficulties.
Oh, okay.
But I know when I listen back to this podcast, it's going to be a nice chunk of monologue from you. Yeah, it's going to be pretty.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Daniel. We have a very special guest today. Someone who's very important to me. Our friend Matt is on the podcast today, coming in long distance.
Hey, Matt.
Hello. Hi, guys.
How's it going, man?
It's all right. Yeah, it's good. Well, I started thinking about like the Daniel's algorithm on like, you know, your response to that question and how many points you have to add. And then I got really paranoid about being as accurate as possible.
Okay. Is it pretty accurate? Like, that's acceptable.
But we're friends here. I do think even in these times, if a stranger says, hey, how you doing? Or stranger or just basic acquaintance, you're socially required just to be like, oh, doing good, man. No matter how good you are not doing.
Yeah, but Daniel, as a co-host of this podcast, I would hope you had a better answer than, well, you know, okay, every episode.
Yeah. I'm always
I'm not just
to
a
it,
person
just okay.
on the street.
Yeah. I keep failing at my 100 push-ups a day thing I'm trying to do, not doing that.
Really? Know, you're failing on your 100 push-ups a day, Daniel?
Yeah, who'd have guessed?
How close, man,
I gave up on my push-ups like week two of this shit.
I exercise about 3 days in a row, once every 3 weeks. That's my I absolutely have put on a pandemic gut, and I don't think I'm going back. I think I'm moving into my chonky days.
I noticed that my breasts had started coming in.
Uh-huh.
Like they were getting a little fuller. And, you know, I appreciated that about myself in the shower earlier. I looked down and I you know, cupped both my sweet, supple, you know, breasts and just... you know, had a time with myself. You know, in the words of Tom Waits, right? I wasn't weird about it or anything.
Matt, that's exactly what happens genetically to me when I put on weight, as it goes straight to having a sweet little bosom.
Yeah.
You know, it's a thing in the past that really used to bother me, but I think I'm just gonna give into it.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Well, boys, I think the Bible, maybe not in this chapter today, but it very well could have something to say about how wrong it is to fondle your own bosoms while bathing, because we're getting into the real nitty-gritty law of Exodus.
You're getting into the rules.
Today we're doing Exodus 23. Matt, you said you might be familiar with some of these rules.
Well, you know, I might be familiar with one of these rules, or one or two, several of them. You know, when I was a young sprite, I had to go to Bible study fellowship every Wednesday night, and we'd do hermeneutics, which is this system of interpretation, literary interpretation almost, where it's the circular process of examining the whole and then examining the tiny, minute parts of it to gain a better understanding of the whole. And then by viewing the whole in relief of the parts, you understand the parts better, right?
Okay.
And so it's this circular thing, and then you know, when you get into sort of the more liberal strains of theology, maybe that circle turns into a spiral, like maybe your understanding expands. But I was definitely in the circular vein of of Bible study, where, you look at these tiny laws and somehow they're supposed to point to how Jesus knew you were bad and he died for you anyway, but only a few people he actually died for. And so, yeah, and he had decided that before time began. So, yeah, well, really wild stuff.
I'm really glad you're here, Matt, because today you can complete that circular journey, because this is the hole at the center of that circle. That's what this podcast is. It's a black hole in the middle of the spiral.
Yeah, you know, having since, you know, really decided to revel in heathenry for a long time, I'm really glad to be the vacuum that my mother always feared I would be. it's really good.
I've muffled the noise of my vacuum. I just keep a lie alive and hide everything from my disappointed parents.
I tell them that I'm still converting to Catholicism, because I am. I don't know why anymore. It's just like it's been like a decade long project that I'm working on constantly.
Yeah, though Adam and I picked the greatest way to hide it from our parents. We put almost 80 episodes of a podcast on the internet for anyone to listen to.
Yeah, yeah. No, even now I tremble in mortal fear that someday my mother will hear this. It's really good.
If you saw the numbers, you wouldn't be that afraid.
Well, you know, I can always take solace in that.
Lest you tremble in vain, let's dive into I was thinking about doing the King James version, but I'm real stupid. I think we should stick with the NIV here. I've think
been
some
doing
of the
too much quarantine drinking for that.
Quarantine drinking, what?
Yeah, I've been doing too much quarantine drinking to be trying to read the King James version.
Oh. Yeah, well, Daniel, your brain's been soft since before the quarantine.
Oh, Lord. Oh, that one just hurt.
Damn,
just
the claws came out, Adam.
Listen, I have to be an asshole because I don't have a personality. So,
you know, if you want to take a look at like a really interesting translation, right, of all of this stuff, there's a good one that was translated in like the late 30s, I think, by Father Reginald Knox, who was an Anglo-Catholic, and the Archdiocese of Great Britain, you know, somebody was like, "Hey, Reginald, you're a great poet. You should reinterpret the Bible for us so that we have a nice English version." And Knox did it, and afterwards everyone was like, "Never mind. we don't ever want to look at this again. Because, like, Knox got really, really up his butt about, like, the word righteousness. He was like, the translators use that so many times because they don't want to take the time to figure out what kind of righteousness they're talking about. And Reginald decided he would take the time. And it's a pretty fun translation.
What's
man.
It called?
It gets really... You can just look it up. It's the Knox, K-N-O-X, translation of the Bible.
Okay.
And it's a pretty weird one. Like, I sometimes like to go through and, you know, look at some choice verses and really just giggle to myself. Because it does sort of have the language of a flowery Englishman in the interwar period.
Well, maybe we'll just read out of that one today.
Yeah.
What do you think? Fun. What do you think?
That sounds good to me.
All right. Well,
if you found it.
I found it. This is from CatholicBible.online.
Nice.
All right.
I didn't know you could do .online.
I didn't either. This is exciting.
Holy shit, it really does say that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's CatholicBible.online/Knox.
Oh man.
So, from the book of Exodus, chapter 22. The man who steals ox or sheep and slaughters or sells it must make restitution at the rate of 5 oxen for one and 4 sheep for one. When a thief is caught breaking into a house or digging under the walls of it, the man who deals him a fatal wound is not guilty of murder unless the deed was done after sunrise. This is one I want to show to the gun nuts. All you gun nuts out there who listen to Reading Heathens. Listen, you shoot a man in your house in the daytime, you're going to hell, baby.
That's right.
There's no excuse. It's got to be nighttime.
You know, I do want to point out that they talk about a man tunneling into your house. Right? And so, like, even still, I feel like if that happened during the daytime, I should have some legal recourse. I shouldn't just be like, well, the sun's up, so your tunnel stands, man.
I do have to, I gotta add, because I'm still following along in the NIV. And I won't do this too much because I feel like there's gonna be a bunch of differences in this one. But they don't talk about tunneling under houses in the NIV. That's something this man Knox just added. he was afraid of that himself or
there's
something.
There's nothing that corresponds to or digging under the walls of it.
No, verse 2 reads, if a thief is caught breaking in at night and is struck with a fatal blow, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed. That's all of verse 2. And then it goes into the sunrise thing.
Wow.
See, I think Reginald had something to him, right? Like, tunneling, that's always going to grab the attention more than just, like, a standard B and E.
Well, I think Reginald just had a badass property, and he's like, how would someone, no one could break in here, they'd have to tunnel under. Gotta make sure this applies to my own situation. This is verse 3. If the sun be risen, there is murder done, and life must pay for life. The thief who has no money to make restitution with must himself be sold as a slave. If something stolen, ox or ass or sheep, is found alive in the possession of a thief, he shall make restitution twofold. If anyone damage field or vineyard by letting some beast of his feed on another man's property, he must make good the estimated loss out of the crop in his own field or vineyard. If a fire breaks out and catches among thorn bushes, setting light to heaps of grain or to corn standing in the fields, the man who lit the fire must make good the loss.
you know, what all of this stuff constantly reminds me is how terrible life in the desert must have been. Like, you know, recouping the losses of burnt crops has like this minute of a standard that, you know, God, you must have really had to have been totally assholed out there.
Last few chapters, Matt, there was a lot of rules surrounding falling into holes in the ground.
Well,
and also like oxen, like goring people. It's a lot of like
Jesus Christ.
If you fall into a hole in the ground on someone's property, in this case, this happens. If you fall into a hole in the ground in their property, but you can still walk with a staff, no problem. It's just like, yeah. got a staff for that. This is verse 7. Where money or goods entrusted to a friend's keeping have been stolen, the thief, if he is found, must make twofold restitution. If he cannot be found, the owner of the house where they lay in keeping shall be brought before the judgment seat. He must swear that he had laid no hands on his neighbor's property with malicious intent. All right, so if you're housing a thief, you just have to go to trial and say, I didn't know.
It's like... Well, Ed, I'm on CatholicBible.online now. And I'm looking at judgment seat, right? It's got a little star next to it.
Uh-huh.
And if you click on that star, bringing this guy before the judgment seat literally translates as the gods. So
Multiple gods.
Yeah. If he cannot be found, the owner of the house where they lay in keeping shall be brought before the gods.
Can you imagine the gods taking time out of their day to like,
yeah,
hey, this guy, there's a thief that lived in his house.
Well, and what I love about this is that, like, you know, this sort of manifestation of God as he stands in his process of becoming, right, is great at sort of bureaucratic delegation. He's got, like, a team, a board of smaller gods that he assigns to stand judgment over everyone. That's really chill of him, right? Like you don't have to go to the big boss man immediately.
My theory is that, you know, Moses is writing all of this. You know, he got the Ten Commandments and God was done with him. And I think this is where they're starting to go off the course, is by installing lower gods.
This is where you think they start doing some hyperbole, some editorializing on their end.
I think this is, oh yeah, I think all the stuff dealing with the courts is Moses trying to save his own ass from doing work.
Yeah. Well, this is also old Jethro. Jethro started all of the whole setting up the courts thing. You know,
Jethro did come to town and show Moses how it's done.
And he was a great flautist.
Was Jethro a flautist?
That was a Jethro Tull joke.
Sorry, my brain is so corrupted by the Beverly Hillbillies that it takes a long time for me to think of Jethro Tull. This is verse 9. Be there a loss of... have I said this already?
No, I don't think so.
It's just repetition. Yeah. Be there a loss of ox or ass or sheep or clothing or any other kind of property, the two parties shall come before the judgment seat, and the defendant, if he is found guilty, shall make twofold restitution. If a man entrusts his neighbor with ass or ox or sheep or any other beast for safekeeping, and it is killed or wounded or carried off by enemies with no witness to the fact, the matter shall be settled by an oath, which the owner shall accept, that the other did not lay hands on his property, there is no restitution to be made. But where the loss is due to a theft, the owner shall be compensated. If it has been killed by a wild beast, the carcass must be brought before the owner, and no amends made. Where a man has borrowed any such beast of his neighbor, and it is maimed or killed in the owner's absence, compensation must be made to him. I just got to take a breather for a second.
Yeah, you know, this is really the part of the church service where, like, my mother would be furiously elbowing me while my dad is also nodding off on the other side of her.
She's just, like, elbows out yeah. on both sides.
She's just got, like, this great chicken wing action that she does.
So everyone is looking.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we went to a church with only like 16 members, so it was very clear who was snoring.
Whoa, yeah, that's wild. You definitely got to pay attention. I flipped on my mom when I got older. I was the one who was like, "Mom, get off your phone. We're in church."
Oh, damn.
I still, anytime I go home and I go to church, I'm often like, I'm refusing to look at that, mother. I have calmly staring. Stop trying to show me a note in the middle of the sermon. Man.
Could you imagine?
Go ahead, Daniel.
No, I was just gonna make fun of a 14-year-old righteous Adam. If you could imagine being around a young boy who's decided to become serious about God.
Decided to become serious about God. No, I was always serious, my man. And until I lost the faith, it was in me. Luckily, we still got a lot more to talk about animals. I am picking up at verse 16. I'm going to read 15 just in case. I'll cut it out later if I already read it. But not if the owner himself was present. Maybe I should just start with 14. God damn it. Where a man has borrowed any such beast of his neighbor, if it is maimed or killed in the owner's absence, compensation must be made to him. But if the owner himself was present, and especially if hire was being paid for the work the beast did, I read that incorrectly. But not if the owner himself was present, and especially if hire was being paid for the work the beast did.
Done. All right, good. Yeah,
yeah. That one's written weird. In the NIV, it's clear. It's essentially, it says if the animal was hired, meaning I think if you, I assume it rented means like it. If you paid, yeah, if you rented that ass, you know.
Daniel, how much to rent that ass of yours?
Oh no, it's definitely on discount right now. You know, I gotta make that money.
This is verse 16. One who seduces a virgin not yet betrothed and beds with her must give her a dowry and marry her. Okay, so, you know, not that bad. Unless the father will not give her in marriage, and then amends must be made equivalent to the dowry which a virgin customarily receives.
So essentially you're renting that ass.
Yeah, for a very high price, and then you get two dowries eventually, hopefully. Yeah.
Well, I looked it up, and the reason you have to give the full dowry is kind of sad because she's no longer a virgin, the dowry now goes down dramatically for whoever is the next. So she's discounted in this world.
Ouchies. This next verse, guys, I know it's identical to the NIV here because this is like number one in the running so far of Bible verses to get as tattoos.
That's exactly what I was going to say about this verse.
We should get matching tattoos of Exodus 22, verse 18. Sorcerers must not be allowed to live. just dropped in the middle after talking about...
Yeah, you've got all of the animal law, and then sorcerers must not be allowed to live.
I love that in their mundane desert life that's like stressing about animals and crops, they also got to be on the lookout for Gandalfs and Radagasts.
Well, listen, man, how do you think all of those holes appear in the desert? That's like how they're falling so often.
Yeah, those sorcerers be shooting magic beams.
Yeah.
An elaborate ritual to make the ground sink in just a little bit.
Yeah, you know, damn, I twisted my ankle. Fucking sorcerers!
All right, verse 19, less exciting, but still a good one. The man who is guilty of bestiality must pay for it with his life.
All right. And that's my second tattoo right there.
Have it tattooed above your waistband.
This is like, you know, as someone of Welsh descent, I feel targeted by this law. Like, because, you know, there's something, you know, weird about, think about all of the lonely shepherds, right? All of the lonely, and they just start to, especially if you go with like the New Testament thought crime sort of thing, they just start to look sidewise at a sheep. And automatically they deserve death. That's like, that's really harsh, bro.
The Salem sheep trials.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I saw Hattie Proctor with a ram the other day.
This is verse 20. Sacrifice is for the Lord alone. He who offers it to other gods must be put to death. There must be no harrying or oppression of the aliens that dwell among you. We got sorcerers and aliens.
This is my favorite book ever.
Yeah, this is a weird... I believe so the NIV says foreigners, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but it also points out... it adds... for you were foreigners in Egypt.
Yeah, yeah, I was.
So it adds like a little bit of shame. Oh, okay.
Now this one says
it shames you a little bit.
Time was when you two dwelt as aliens in the land of Egypt.
Ancient aliens theory confirmed. That's it, man.
It's in the Bible.
You must not wrong the widow and the orphan. Wronged, they will cry out to me for redress, and their cry will be heard. My anger will blaze out against you, and I will smite you with the sword, making widows of your own wives, orphans of your own children. That's badass.
You know what? That's admirable. I'm on with that.
I thought this was just some Moses stuff, but that sounds like the word of God to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It seems like God is like this is supposed to be straight from the mouth of the Lord, because I don't think Moses is willing to smite people with his own sword.
Well, dude, what if it's just that, you know, Moses is sort of developing his creative writing skills and like he's learning to make it sound like God, right?
But okay.
You know, throw in a few cursory smitings, you know, some holy retribution, but really just sort of rest on the fear of that, right?
He did start out as like a weak boy, you know. Moses, he flaked out originally on all the jobs and had his brother Aaron do it all because of his stutter. Maybe he also was just wasn't good at spinning a tail, you know. But now he's coming into his own.
You do find out later. I wanted to point out that God's sword, I will smite you with the sword. That sword is actually, it looks just like Count Dooku's lightsaber. That's God's sword of choice. This is verse 25. If thou dost lend money to some poorer neighbor among my people, thou shalt not drive him hard as extortioners do, or burden him with usury. Usury? Do you know that word, Matt? I'm dummy.
Yeah, that's a usury.
It means interest.
Yeah, yeah. It's banking.
Very good. If thou takest thy neighbor's garment for a pledge, thou shalt give it back to him by the set of sun. Can you imagine a short-term loan? Just like, can you imagine giving your shirt just for the day?
Well, you know, that's like sort of the big trend when I was in junior high and high school, right, was wearing girl jeans. And so sometimes I'd borrow my sister's jeans. and this is sort of the arrangement that we had, now that I think about it. Like if my sister missed her jeans after the set of Sun, buddy, I was in for it.
This is verse 27, continuing on that. If it is all he has to cover himself with, his body's protection, all that he has to sleep under. Oh, so that was a semicolon there. So you only have to give it back if it's all that he has for protection. Mm. He has but to cry for redress, and I, the ever merciful, will listen to him. All right, well, God. That's interesting where you're deciding to be merciful. It's like,
yeah.
This man needs some clothes. Thou shalt not revile the powers above thee, or speak ill of him who rules thy people. Uh-oh. there must be no delay. What's that?
Oh, it's just, we've got another little asterisk here. So, you know, I ever the diligent student, wanted to deepen my understanding and also see if there was room for a nice soundbite. The powers above thee, literally the gods. Again, he's delegating to these lesser gods.
This is wild. Now that it is confirmed, this is from the mouth of God. It's very strange. But it seems clear from the second half of the sentence that earthly rulers are here referred to.
Yeah, I'm choosing to ignore that and instead believe in the bureaucracy of Old Testament heaven. Like, I really hope that there are a lot of people with stamps, forms A through Z, and you have to have them all turned in by 3 p.m. because that's when the offices are closing today.
Got to take those things over to Jethro, get them signed off. This is verse 29. There must be no delay in paying tithes and first fruits. Thou shalt make me an offering of the first son that is born to thee. What? That's news to me.
Oh, man.
And with thine oxen and thy sheep, thou shalt do the like. For 7 days the dam may keep her firstborn. After that, it must be offered to me. You are to be men marked out for my service. Meat that has once been tasted by wild beasts shall not be used for food. It must be thrown to the dogs. And that's the end. That's
within the space of a few sentences, he said, your firstborn child, 7 days off of the teat, must come to me. Also, you're not allowed to eat roadkill.
Daniel, is there anything in the Quest Bible about this offering of the son?
Oh, about the...
Does it literally mean...
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. What it says is you're supposed to give your firstborn son, but the cop out, these unholy cop outs that they pull, what they really did was you gave another animal as sacrifice for the firstborn son. So it says you're supposed to give like a cattle and a sheep. Well, you just throw in another cattle or another sheep in there. And say this is for my son Jeff. You know this sheep represents Jeff, so I'm gonna kill him instead.
Okay,
that's
how it worked out. Yeah. Seems like they should be killing Jeff. You know.
Yeah, I've learned a lot of things in this chapter that make all followers of the book bad followers of the book that I know.
Yeah.
So that's like, you know, having grown up Calvinist, this means a lot, because like that means they did offer sort of me in a form. They offered my future mental health to God, right? as a sacrifice. That was really chill of them.
Hey, man,
and of God.
God just pointed. He's super merciful, man. He'll make sure that you get to keep those girl jeans on if they're the only thing you have to wear. Right. Be damned the rest of your life.
Yeah, and like if it's my sister's last pair of girl jeans, right? All she has to do is cry out to God and he'll replace them for her.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he guaranteed he'd replace them. He just said he'd hear the cries.
You're right.
Because he's so merciful.
Yeah. Well, he would replace them with like Walmart jeans or something, maybe. Like, it's just, you know, whatever's available. I mean, God,
some Wranglers, some of Brett Favre's famous Wrangler jeans.
She gets Wranglers instead of the Levi's.
Well, if I were going to rate this chapter from 1 to 5 stars, I'd give it a solid 3 stars. As far as laws have gone, this is less awful than some of it. There's a lot less talk about slavery. There's definitely some, you know, terrifying patriarchy. But we get that verse, sorcerers shall not be allowed to live, which for me makes a chapter and brings it up to 3 stars. What are y'all thinking out there?
I agree. I do like that it says you should be nice to foreigners. However, I'm sure that gets maybe people just think that just means people in the next city over, not actual foreigners. I guess that's how they're interpreting it out in the world. but yeah, no, this is a fun one. I like this one, and I like this version of the Bible. I want to switch over permanently to Knox Bible, I think, because the language is just nice. Like, if you read it against the NIV, he really has put like a poet's touch on this whole thing, because it's like so much more flowery and like awesome. But no,
and
I'll
also
give it a 3,
just inserted things like people digging under your. I want a compiled list of all the things he just added.
Well, the one of the things, you know, he's translating from the Vulgate, so like, who knows, maybe the Catholics have just been working with a better Bible than the rest of us. Full of tunnels and aliens and shit, man.
But really 3.1 for me.
3.1. All right.
I'll give it a solid. This gets 4 stars from me. Here's why. One, it's the first full section of the Bible I've read in a long time. Because, you know, again, if I go to services, they're Catholics, and you know, I'm not really sure we're supposed to read the Bibles there. You know, you've got sick verses like sorcerers must not be allowed to live. The man who is guilty of bestiality must pay for it with his life. This is all pretty solid. You've got a God who's like totally got the backs of widows and orphans, which, you know, is pretty solid of him since he set out like this very blatantly patriarchal society for everybody to live in. And then my favorite part of this, if I can remember what it was, somebody edit it. Somebody stop me. Jesus. Jesus? But
he's not here yet.
Oh, yeah. It is this heavenly bureaucracy, this God who is not so monomaniacal as to deny himself delegation. I really like that he delegates.
Being all powerful doesn't mean you need some. You don't need some leisure time.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't want to be bothered every time somebody falls into a well, or, you know, every time a dude fucks a dog. He'd rather have his committee handle that.
Four stars it is. Very solid chapter. Fun little game you can play at home is you can average all of our scores together to get the average score of the chapter. It's like a little podcast mini game you can play for all of our
yeah,
fans.
Somebody add that to the wiki.
Matt, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I got two questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind coming back next week? And do you have anything to plug?
I'd love to come back next week. That sounds like a lot of fun. Before coronavirus, I had a lot of things to plug, and now I have nothing to plug, except, you know, Bill and Ted's general rule, I guess, right, of being excellent to one another. That's what I've got now.
Yeah, you heard it here, folks. Be excellent to each other. Matt, would you mind if I used Reverend Duncan as the outro track?
Not at all. That sounds really great. Yeah, yeah. I'll plug our former endeavor, the Ronald Ray Guns.
I will not plug it as a whole, as there are tracks on that album that will prevent me from having a political career or being seen as a decent human being in the future. But this particular track that we'll go out on is
I'll plug my career as a faith healer. it was a beautiful time in all of our lives, I think.
You know where to find us. We're at HostedPod on Instagram, HostedPod@gmail.com, twitch.tv/HostedPod. That stream is heating up over there, Daniel.
Lots of stuff. You're over there playing Final Fantasy. People love watching Schaefer cook things and talk to and take a 15-minute recipe and somehow magically turn it into a 3-hour show. it's been
now,
great.
Now Daniel's coming in with the claws. Yeah.
No, it's good. I mean, it's like he's better than me. I can't do it. I do a 1-hour show. I get sad towards the end, and then I turn it off. You know, my 3D printing show has turned into me turning on the podcast, being like, "Guys, we're gonna make PPE for all the heroes out there." And then towards the end, I'm just like, "Man, fucking, why am I alive?" You know. So, come watch me on Mondays.
I'm gonna go back through the back catalog, rewatch some of those episodes. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you didn't know, we are now on a 1-episode-a-week schedule. So we'll be coming back to you next Sunday morning or afternoon if Adam had a little too much to drinky pie on the Saturday before. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Matt, would you say bye?
Oh, yeah. Goodbye, everyone. Goodbye, world.
Now all you people gather around. I'm the cleanest man in town. I got eyes like a devil and heart of sin. Come on, baby, now pass the gin. I said all you people gather around. I'm the cleanest man in town. I got eyes like a devil and heart of sin. Come on, baby, now let me in the hole. Well, my mother went into labor with me in a restaurant they called the Purple Cow. That's what they call a C-Series section.